if it's if he think that his like forever green light and hall pass and residual came in the late 90s, oh, it's a wrap.
Oh, it's a wrap. Hey, look, we gonna kick the pod off with this.
Hey, we'll say no more.
We gonna kick the pod off with this because this, yeah, I have a theory about Hulk Hogan the nigga.
Hey, that's hilarious. We got what's going on, man? How y'all feeling this morning? You know what I'm saying? We on the live, but hey, if you listen in the afternoon, the evening, we appreciate y'all too. And you know, when you see these faces, when you see these names, when you see all this come up on your stream or wherever you at, you know it's time to talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world. So without further ado, it is time for the first Black Champ podcast, and I am the pick, Hacksaw Hem Duggan, Camp from the Port.
Okay, I like you know that. Saying? Oh, shit, I like that. Hacksaw Hem Duggan, nigga, you know what I'm saying? About? Shit, I'm still VP Bang, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Vice President of Barbershed Digital. Make sure y'all rate, like, subscribe, download to Barbershed Digital, the home of First Black Champ. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at FBC_POD, FBC.POD on Instagram. Great show planned for you today. Cam has now had time to watch Elimination Chamber, so we're going to get his full thoughts on that. What did you?
Think about that. Listen, man, I had every intention on checking out Elimination Chamber after the show.
Life
did not happen that way.
It's okay.
I mean, listen, I will say I've been trying to save myself from the spoilers.
Yeah, you saw SmackDown and Raw though. A little bit.
I literally just watched SmackDown. What I need to see from SmackDown.
Oh, that's great. You saw what you need to see.
And listen, man, life got super real last week.
You ain't gonna tell me.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? In the same week that my daughter gets baptized, I get laid off about 24 hours later.
Yeah.
But then I high key get promoted
right
by Wednesday.
We on second thought.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I spent the rest of the week planning for my trip to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, because I'm thinking they was gonna set me up for later in the week, like dude said. No, my flight is Tuesday morning at like 10.
Oh damn.
So needless to say,
you've been busy.
Yeah. But I promise y'all, after this, I'm going to watch because I'm actually off today. My cousin came in town, you know what I'm saying? So I kicked it with her and her husband last night and another Freeport native. I didn't even know. I went to high school with this girl. I didn't realize she had an older sister that looked damn near just like her. And she lives in Murfreesboro. And she knew my cousin. So it's been the whole thing. I've been moving around. I worked 10 hours yesterday.
Oh man.
Went straight to Fable Lounge, great spot in Nashville, even though we ran into a little snafu.
They let you in?
Oh, no, they let me in. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about when we left, it was some other madness. But yeah, man.
You almost had to be somebody ass?
I thought that was going to be the implication, but you know what? He was chill. He was a foot taller than dude. And We had a very cordial understanding, and that's it.
Okay. I've come to the conclusion. We was talking about this last week too. I come to the conclusion that at 40, I don't feel like fighting. So if I have to fight you, it's going to be a problem.
Hey, but you know what?
It's like I don't feel like fighting, but if I have to, because then you really at go to jail age too.
Yeah, no, for sure. The problem with me is I'm overprepared now, so now I'm extra chill.
Yeah, that
I don't really share this. This is the first Black Champ exclusive.
Hey.
But I've been taking kickboxing for over a year.
Oh, that's great.
So I fight 4 days a week.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So I don't really want to get in a position to where you think you're trying to pump me.
I got a question.
to add to your first Black Chap exclusive, and you know where it's going. Yeah. Have you tried it with a gun?
Hell no. Hey, listen.
Have you tried kickboxing with a gun?
No. I reserve that for the guy that's teaching me that says he's actually done it in real life.
Bruh.
And I just left it at that. For and y'all I was to, like, okay.
For y'all to like, know, look, man, it's really... the best argument I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It's the best argument. Matter of fact, I had saw some shit on Facebook. Now, I mean, on Instagram, and I meant to share it to you, but I forgot. But it was a nigga going through an obstacle course, shooting a gun.
Oh, yeah. He was like doing the flip and bow.
Yeah, but it was another one from when I showed you. It was a whole totally different one. This shit looked like American Gladiators. Like, where the fuck this come from? But then I was like, the best argument ever in history.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Yeah, like, yeah. So, but nah, man, you and Francisco then. Because, like, Francisco, shout out to my homie Francisco, my Mexican best friend. I got to say it like that because I got best friends of all colors.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's United what it's Nations, all about. Best friends. But nah, but he was doing kickboxing. But when we first met, by wrestling in the back of Best Buy in the warehouse. I don't know why we had Royal Rumbles in the warehouse of Best Buy.
But y'all still young as hell when the fight
that's true, yeah. But me and him was going at it. He was like, man, I take kickboxing. I should have whooped your ass. I was like, well, I'm a nigga. That shit ain't going to happen like that. Yeah. But but he tore up one of the white boys that was there. Dude, mom worked with us too. She got mad. Like, yo, why you handle my son like that? Like, your son wanted to wrestle, fam.
Right, yeah. And seeing that, right, yeah, and that's a little different. So
he gave his ass one of them, and then boom, boom, and then judoed his ass.
Yeah, so, you know, I will say, because I mean, I try to get in the gym, but I make sure I make it to class every day. Been going for over a year. And I will say, when you learn a new discipline or a new art of some sort, it calms you down. Like, I'd be out smiling in public. Everybody's a brother. I shake hands. I fist bump. I just, like, I'm really just not even confrontational, even. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, at first, like, hit, but it's like, because I know, like, man, dog, you one knee to the face away. Like, I'm going to, and you're, like, that's it. I'm going to knee you in the face. We're going to walk off. I'm going to enjoy my night. I'm going to have sex, unprotected.
Hey.
And then it is just what it is. So, I'd be chilling, man. I was, the last thing on my mind last night, matter of fact, during the situation was like, oh, I still do. Because I was like, nah.
Yeah.
No. We're not even gonna do that. We're not even about that life. We're just gonna handle this the right way. We're gonna get the authorities involved if we need to. And because that's it. Because yo, I don't even know, but I was asked to do some competitions and I haven't decided yet. That's all I'm gonna say.
So basically, you really like homie on the best man.
Or I like to prefer Sagat from Street Fighter, but
I mean that too. But I'm talking about like you working. Did you see the best man on the best man, the new version?
I got the first one on VHS. Don't
no,
tell
I'm talking about the new one.
Oh no, the Peacock joint. No, Peacock I just produced the spot.
You gotta watch
the spot. I gotta watch it though.
You gotta watch it now. That's when I say that's you, but you ain't as lame as dude. Like he knew it too. That's what I'm saying. But nah, like my man really was like moonlighting as an MMA.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Hal Perrineau. I can't pronounce my man last name.
Oh, Perrineau. Yeah.
Perrineau, but yeah.
And the only reason why I know that is because, you know, producing the spot, I was like, yo, man, we got to say my man name like this.
Yeah.
like this wrong.
Yeah, but nah, like he ended up moonlighting this shit as a goddamn MMA fighter, basically.
Oh, wow.
You got to see the whole thing. So that's why I say, you ain't him. You ain't him, but
the implications are there.
But the similar trajectory, when you get to it, especially when you say competitions, is there.
Oh, nice. That's dope.
But you also,
I gotta catch up.
Right, but you also ain't married with two daughters.
Yeah.
And don't nobody listen to you.
Yeah.
So you got to use that as an outlet. So yeah. All right. Let me go ahead and get to my theory about Hulk Hogan.
Back to wrestling.
Yeah, y'all are slowly learning, fam, that we can talk more about wrestling if you want to, but this is a wrestling podcast, but we got life and shit. So
yeah,
you know, absolutely. But man, so I was watching WWE Legends on A&E yesterday. The NWO episode, because as we record on Sunday, Jake the Snake's is tonight, and I'm very excited to see the Jake the Snake joint.
I got
you. But I was watching the NWO one, and fast forwarded because it was actually a lot more emotional, even without the Scott Hall part. It was a lot more emotional than I thought.
Wow. Like, okay.
Eric Bischoff told the story about how he had met this chick at a Comic-Con. I think they said, like, San Diego or whatever. But he met at a Comic-Con. And she said that the only reason why her and her father, like, her and her father, you know, watched wrestling together. But he had, you know, alcohol issues and a lot of stuff. He ended up passing away. She lost her mom. She lost her father. Damn. She found Eric Bischoff's contact information or his wife's contact information, and she asked if Eric Bischoff could walk her down the aisle. She was getting married.
Wow.
And he could barely even talk about it.
Right.
And I was like, damn, I totally understand. And then you got the Scott Hall shit that was very emotional and stuff. And some shit we already knew.
Right.
But you know, it's other stuff that it was like interesting to learn. Now, we knew hip-hop's influence on the NWO.
For sure.
What I did not know, and maybe I missed it, is, you know, one of the things they talked about is how Hulk Hogan, when the NWO started, I knew he didn't have a relationship with Hall and Nash. He ain't know
him. Right.
But when they were doing the first vignettes, NWO vignettes, he was still hitting you with the, let me tell you something, brother.
Yeah.
Brother this and all, yeah. And they was like, nah, fam, like, this ain't this, and this ain't that. But there was a populist, like, they got a lot of their cues from Pac and things of that nature, too. But, and then Mac 10 also was, like, name thrown out there. Yeah, they said that the full life.
Who back?
Yeah, Full Life was inspired. Life. Yeah,
Full Life, Mac 10. Rolling through the hood, it's dry.
Yeah. So, that Mac 10 was really influential in the For Life part.
Wow.
Right. But Hulk Hogan asked him, like, what are y'all getting so I can get it too?
Mm.
So, of course, when he said that, my first thought was, before NWO, Hulk Hogan probably was not a rap fan.
Yeah, I can
he
see that.
Probably heard some rap songs,
yeah,
but he was not a rap guy. He's getting in the NWO. He got to get with the young homies. He's like 10 years older than them.
Yeah, easily.
And to get inspiration for this Hollywood Hogan character, I have to get in the lane of where they at. And it's clear, Kevin Nash, especially from Kevin Nash's perspective, it is clear that Kevin Nash liked West Coast rap.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
At like, the very, and a lot of white people love West Coast rap.
Especially the ones from Michigan.
Yeah, I've come to the conclusion that, especially if you're from Michigan, you love the West Coast rap and MC Breed.
Yep. Yeah, those are facts. Those are facts. E-40 has a forever market in Detroit.
There you go. So, when I see that, I'm like, wait a minute. I can picture this right here. And I'm speculating. Not even speculating. I'm just throwing this theory out. See this right here. Here comes Hulk Hogan. Hey, brother. Like, I'm trying to get into this character, but I don't know. You know? Like, y'all cool. I have to match y'all. Yo. Well, you know what, Hogan? Here's Mac 10 for life. Go ahead and check this out. Go ahead and check out this Tupac. You can check out this Biggie too. Check out all of this rap and you will understand what me and Scott said. All right, cool. Hulk Hogan pops in. boom, 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 doo, doo, boom, 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 doo, doo, boom, 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 doo, doo, boom, 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 boom. Okay. Let me check out this pot. I ain't deny it. I'm a straight rider. You don't want to fuck me. Boom, 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 boom. Okay. Okay. All right. He listens to some NWA, some Dr. Dre. So, okay. All right. I think I got it. I can mix this hip-hop shit with my rock shit, and I'm already in Hollywood. Oh, Hollywood. Now I'm in my mold.
You know what I'm saying?
Because I'm going to take y'all back for y'all real wrestling fans and NWO fans. Hulk Hogan was still lame as shit
in the 90s.
For a couple of... after the NWO shit, he was still kind of lame. Go look at him versus the Giant for the title.
Yeah.
It's probably two new members later where Hulk Hogan really hit his stride.
Yeah, with the Hollywood Hogan and changing the music and all of that. Yeah, yeah. It was amazing.
It's like about time you get the Millionaire Ted.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, the swag is there.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Hogan probably heard all that. He was like, okay. Well, let me tell you something, niggers. He was like, whoa.
We can't go that far. But what I believe is that was the start of Hulk Hogan's introduction into black culture. That's not Arsenio Hall.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that. Because as you're breaking this down, the two things I thought about, I was like, the only black people that, I mean, as far as like hip-hop and hip-hop culture, black culture, that Hulk Hogan probably knew or knew of, I was going to give them two. Arsenio Hall and Run DMC.
Man.
That's it. I could, and I think he only know them because of WrestleMania 5. And that's it. Because... don't get me wrong. I mess with Mr. T. But I think Mr. T listened to James Brown.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, I don't think he listened to nothing else. Yeah. He might have thrown a little Coltrane, maybe.
I could go ask Sam his Cook. Daughter right now, and she'd be like, yeah, he ain't listen to that shit.
Yeah. Like, I could see him playing super bad all day. But if you told me that Mr. T was like an LL Cool J fan, I'm like, nah, that's cap. Nah, yeah. Like, nah, bro. He ain't never put radio on.
Yeah, he's not listening to Pink Cookies in a Plastic Bag.
Nah, not at all.
Especially learning when LL Cool J says, hey, I don't even know what the fuck I was doing when I made that song. I was high. So, with that being said, Hulk Hogan's introduction into hip-hop happens after July 6th. July 7, 1996.
Yeah, man.
Hulk Hogan really starts getting immersed in black culture at that time through the NWO.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
I believe if it were not for the NWO, Hulk Hogan would have never gotten into the trouble he got into, because he would have never felt as comfortable as he did. Because as we said, when we talked about this years ago, there may have been somebody black that Hulk Hogan said the N-word to. And they was like, you know what? It's Hulk Hogan. You know?
Right.
I think that Hulk Hogan had no idea about black culture, about hip hop, and none of those things. We don't get the viral video of him playing Jeezy in the Hummer if it were not for the NWO introducing him to hip-hop culture. And because of that, now we know this.
Mm-hmm.
The white dude that gets immersed in hip-hop culture now starts getting around people of the culture.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he knows something.
Know a little something. And now this is Hulk Hogan. This ain't just, you know, Mike from Des Moines, Iowa.
Right. No, this is Hulk Hogan.
This is Hulk Hogan.
From Venice Beach, California.
This ain't even Terry Bollea.
Right.
This is Hulk Hogan.
You know what I'm saying?
And Hulk Hogan, I really believe that Hulk Hogan became that 13-year-old kid from small town America that listened to hip hop for the first time. And then 3 days later, his dad opens the door and he has a bandana on with a jersey and his pants baggy and some Jordans on. Like, yeah, dad, what's up, Pops? Stop fronting on me, Pops. And if it wasn't for the NWO, that would not have happened. Because he had to get into character.
Yeah.
And he never left that character because it was the cool character to be.
Yeah. And there's always that slippery slope of when white people are introducing you to something black. Yeah. You know? Like, granted, hip-hop is now this global phenomenon as it's about to turn 50 years old. But back in 1997, there was still a divide, you know what I mean? Like, I know Fred Durst and Method Man did a lot, right? But for the most part, you know what I mean? You picked a side. And your white friends turning you on to rap music is always the slippery slope, because do they even truly know what they're listening to? Mm-hmm. Or do they just like what they hearing? Well, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I think Kevin Nash liked it.
Yeah. And also, but you know what? I think Kevin Nash is fully aware, because he's white from Detroit. And the one thing that we know about white folks from Detroit, because they grew up with Motown and then it transitioned into hip hop. So you got Berry Gordy, then you got Jay Dilla, right?
And then you have drugs.
Yes.
You got White Boy Rick.
Yeah.
You got BMF before they was BMF.
Right.
You got techno music, house techno music, all that stuff. Yeah.
So you're already dealing with a different breed of white person with a different understanding of what black culture is. Because I don't know. Fact check me if you may. But I don't think for the most of Detroit's like tenure as a city, I think it's always been more black people in Detroit than there has been white people, right? Like maybe like my 2% maybe.
Nah. Because
culture influence has taken over.
But the Great Migration, you know, just like it did with every city in the Midwest.
So I'm saying all that to say Kevin Nash was very aware, like, okay, look, I can listen to this, but ain't no way I'm saying the N-word. Like, that's out. Like, nah, I watched some kids get beat up about that in school. I played basketball. Got a lot of black friends. I got probably more black friends than the average white man.
And I'm aware. I'm just instinctively aware.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I don't know.
Okay. Artie, I was thinking maybe. See, I was thinking there's Detroit and then there's everything outside of Detroit.
Yes.
Which I got like Chicago and Chicagoland. But shouts out to my man Artie, who says it's been majority black since the 60s with the Great Migration. But we've been pretty heavy here since the 30s. That's when his parents moved here. So,
my bad. Thanks, Artie. Yeah. I mean, again, look, fact check me, because like I was like, look, because every historical figure that I know in or from Detroit is black. Like, I mean, shoot, Joe Louis. Like, even y'all, even they fighters, they athletes, like, even though Barry Sanders is not from Detroit, but you know, they didn't have the white quarterback to kind of
prop. Yeah, like, who is the most popular white dude, like, in white dude in Detroit history other than Henry Ford?
It's got to be a three-way tie: Ford, White Boy Rick, and Eminem. But even look at that,
like,
look
at that.
The last two were influenced heavily by black people.
Yeah. Shouts out to Detroit. What up, dude?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But to stay on topic, First Black Champ Podcast, here we talk wrestling as well. I look at that and I say, man, you know what? Yeah, when you got two white guys, one very aware, culturally aware, as well as just, you know, just realizing he's white and he's in this space. And then you got this other guy who's actually the OG, but now he's trying to get hip. You know, it becomes a situation where we now see it, because now we're in our 40s, but we see the OGs in their 50s and they still trying to wear like the bedazzled belts and the skinny jeans because they want to catch the young ones. And they don't realize, like, hey, bro, just put on some athleisure and just tell them you got money. The young hoes is going to go.
Yeah, you ain't got to put on True Religion, fam.
Right, right. But they think, yo, now I get these truths. My son got the truths on. And that, and he said the young hoes is feeling them. Like, well, first of all, you shouldn't be wanting to, women your son's age. But more importantly than that, man, be a grown-ass man out here. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do all of this. True. Just be aware of it, and that will make you cool enough. But of course, much like Hulk Hogan, the OGs take being cool too far. Yeah. And that's where we have what we're talking about today. I feel I can't confirm it. I wasn't there like that, but that's what I think happened.
Now I'm gonna say this, and we move on. Like Hulk Hogan being in the NWO, which was heavily influenced by hip hop, is one thing, but it also made Hulk Hogan be the 30-year-old dude that joined the gang.
Yeah, man.
Like, you've not been in the gang all your life, but you're 30 years old, and now you want to be a GD.
Yeah, man. Jeez.
That's what Hulk Hogan became. Yeah. And he just got immersed in it, and he got around other people, and he felt like...
Yo.
He felt like
this
he
could... This nigga sat tripping.
Right. And I truly believe after watching the WWE Legends, because I'm going to watch this with a different scope than most people.
Mm-hmm.
I truly, as we see right now, yes. I truly believe that Hulk Hogan would have never been in the trouble that he's been in if he stayed with the red and the yellow his whole career.
That's true, but... He was about to get future endeavored, though, in some capacity. I get it. You know, it's one of those things, you know, it's the adapt or perish, right?
Yeah.
He chose to adapt.
He chose to become a GD.
Yeah, man. I mean, hey, it hurt his personal life. And you know what? It hurt his personal life and his overall, like, aesthetic and gave him a stigma forever now in the eyes of the generation that didn't see him. You know what I mean? But gotta admit, man. I mean, you kind of, I think he would do it all over again, except for that radio interview. because the thing is, we didn't need to know that Terry Bollea was a piece of shit human being. We just had to like Hulk Hogan. But when he's setting up his friends, trying to do sex tape with his wife, and he calling people nigga, you know, it's like, yo, like, fam, like, what are you doing out here? Like,
hey, man. That shit would have never happened if he would have stayed on the say your prayers, train, and take your vitamin shit.
Right.
He could have took that shit to Japan and got money.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Artie and Keith going crazy. This is hilarious. I forgot Tim Allen is from Detroit. Hey, and he had he a drug trafficker too. I think it turned his life around. And I forgot the dude from Little Caesars. Top five white person from Detroit.
Yeah.
You're right, man. I remember getting the Bigfoot pizza when it was a real restaurant. You know what I'm saying? From Little Caesars. I used to fuck with Little Caesars heavy, more so than Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
And they had the fudge, white chocolate ravioli candies. Little Caesars used to be super fire in the 90s.
Yeah, it did. Like that late 80s, early 90s, you couldn't front on Little Caesars. But then they started, you know, mass production. And it was like, all right, y'all fucking up here.
Right.
But yeah.
I'm glad I already said this about Hulk Hogan real quick. I'm sorry. Because I was born in 95. I've always thought Hulk Hogan was lame.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the point we're making. So from your aesthetic, you are 2-3 years old when Hollywood Hogan hits. By the time you probably are really retaining wrestling information, he back to... real American Hulk Hogan with the Hollywood boa that's red and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us was feeling that unless you're just like on some nostalgia shit. So yes. So now you see him as like, yo, man, dude, lame as hell. And then that's when the clips drop. So you, oh, he lame and he racist. Oh, fuck, dude, wow. Get him out of here. But, but see, we saw two different Hulk Hogans. And then all that happens, and it's like, damn. Well, for me, because Bang has never been a Hogan fan like that. But me, I bought the weight set. I prayed, said my prayers, trained, and ate my vitamins. I did all of that. I used to have tie-dye shirts and shirts and rip them on the playground and splash people. I was a real Hulk Hogan fan. So yeah, it was disappointing. You know what I mean?
but it's always been fuck that nigga. It's been fuck that nigga since 1987. Mm-hmm. But I respect him. But it's always been fuck Hogan. It's always been Macho Man. What's good, fam? With that being said, though, even with Macho Man, the NWO really influenced a lot of these old niggas.
Damn.
And bring, because look at it like this, to put a bow on this. A lot of these niggas before they got to the NWO was lame as shit.
Yeah, for sure.
For the exception, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash is forever the exception to the these niggas wasn't lame rule. Diesel was always cool. Mm-hmm. Razor Ramon was always cool.
Facts.
Hulk Hogan wasn't always cool.
That's a fact.
The Giant ain't never been cool.
Ever.
Ted DiBiase ain't never been cool. He was just a white dude with money.
That's fair.
The 1-2-3 Kid was lame as shit. Mm-hmm. Came to the NWO, became Six.
Yeah.
The cool nigga.
Yeah, he turned up then.
Right. Marcus Alexander Bagwell. His name says it all.
Yeah, he definitely went by all three of his names.
Right. This is, we're talking about American males. Mm-hmm. American males. American males. And the dude that used to do the role while Tuco Scorpio do the running man.
Yeah.
The Steiners were all American white boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can go on and on. Mm-hmm. But no, when they right. got to the NWO, swag turned up a million. Mm-hmm. And their characters were never the same. That's because of Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, mm-hmm. Mac 10, Tupac, West Coast hip hop.
Yeah, man, that's wild. That's wild, but yeah. And that is the power of hip hop, people. 50 years in, that's the power of hip hop right there. Like, if you want to know why hip hop runs the world today, look no further than what Kevin Nash and Scott Hall did for the NWO.
That's it, y'all.
Hey, we can really close the show there, but we're going to give y'all some more.
We're going to give y'all some more. First Black Champ, make sure y'all rate, like, subscribe, download to the Barbershop Digital. Go ahead and get that merch. See Camp with the chocolate on. All right, so let's get into this Uso, mm-hmm. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns, all this shit,
mm-hmm.
right? So on Monday, Sami Zayn talks to Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Keith, you're right. We don't know how long Scott Steiner hated Ric Flair, but man, he let it be known during the NWO years.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you, old dude.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Basically, I'll fuck you, man.
Yeah.
I'll beat your ass out here.
Scott Steiner went to fight everybody before him, man. Yeah. Towards the end of WCW.
Right. Like, which makes me think, was Scott Steiner really the big bad booty daddy during his Steiner brother years? Because he would definitely be like the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Hey,
like,
again, another Michigan native right there. And the white boys from Michigan is not playing with nobody. They are not playing with anybody. The white boys from Michigan are not playing with you.
Mm-mm.
That's Mm-mm. it. That's all I got.
Yeah. All I'm thinking now is Scott Steiner being at a BMF party. Not a BMF party, but a 12 City Boys or whatever. But it being at one of those parties with a suit on. Imagine him and Rick.
I was gonna say shirt off.
imagine like that is true. Like, we're gonna get to this in a second, but I gotta bring this back. Because now you're talking about white guys from Michigan and how they be turned up and wrestling too. Or music. Like imagine there's one of those parties in Detroit that you see on BMF. They got the suits on and shit.
Yeah.
And you walk in, and there's Scott and Rick Steiner over there. There's Kevin Nash over there. There's Tim Allen and White Boy Rick over there. There's a young Eminem that's right there. And they all got their own suits and shit. Loud ass, metallic ass, gray suits and shit. They got the Detroit techno music going on and shit. Like, there's a whole bunch of niggas around them too. Like, imagine that. Because none of them are lame ass Detroit white dudes.
No, they're just not.
I do think Scott Steiner may have a Detroit story that we would be very interested to hear on First Black
Channel. Absolutely. I'm like, yo, man, show your top three. That'd be the whole show. Like, bro, we're not even going to interrupt you.
We're not going to interrupt
tell you. Tell us your number three story in Detroit. Okay, now tell us the number two story in Detroit. Hey, all right, man. Number one, let's go.
Scott Steiner would probably be like, man, I knew White Boy Rick. Tell us about it.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, man, shit, Rick actually could tell you more about him than we can, because, you know, I'm younger than Rick, but Rick used to run with them all.
Right.
Like, you know what the hell? Like, what? Like, yeah. Kevin Nash probably got a couple of stories, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah,
Kevin Nash probably got a, you know, he hooped, too.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man. We need to just go to Detroit and just talk to wrestlers. that's what we need to do.
All right. So Jey Uso is the topic of the conversation. Mm-hmm. Sami Zayn tries to get Kevin Owens to join him in the fight against the Bloodline.
Right.
Kevin Owens like, man, why don't you just go out ask Jey?
Right, you know what I'm saying?
I'm off you, fam. Go I ask Jey shit. Yeah, I respect it.
I respect that plot twist for sure.
Yeah. Even though we know the slow burn is coming,
yeah,
we respect it.
Yeah,
that's the real shit. Mm-hmm. But then you got Sammy, you know, you got Sammy and Jey. I mean, not Jey, but Jimmy. Yeah, you say go touch your other host, fam. That's for right. Sure. You got some corned beef egg rolls. All right, we got to get off the Detroit shit. All right, this will be a whole Detroit show. We don't know shit about Detroit other than white dudes, drug dealers.
You know what I'm saying? And Eastside Egg Roll, though. That's what made me think of that, too.
Now, but now you got Jimmy wondering if his brother is going to join him in his tag team match.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Sammy, who is going to Jey, talking about some, you know, you got the juice now.
Right.
And you also got now Sammy and Jimmy promos against each other.
Mm-hmm.
But Jey is in the Raptors like Sting.
Yeah. With the belts.
So what's up with Jey? Like, where's this going? I think the WWE might be doing a great job at what I would say keeping us off the scent.
Mm-hmm.
But in doing that, I do think the WWE puts themselves in a very weird position.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I look at Jey now on Friday, he turned into Scott Borden. And then when you look at the trajectory, it ain't Scott Borden. But you put your hands on me, I held y'all down, I'm out. And then the next time y'all see me, I look like the Crow. And I'm in the rafters.
Mm-hmm.
Jey is now in the rafters.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we going with this?
Man, this is sort of a goddamn hope. And this is all I got this week, y'all, because I still got to catch up. I still ain't seen Chamber. I didn't see Raw. I just saw SmackDown literally before the show started because I felt I need to at least see that because that's where the story is, right? What I want to happen here, bang, guaranteed hope here, is that the whole Usos versus Roman Reigns story comes full circle.
Mm.
And for those of you that already know what I'm talking about, just let me detail it for you. You know, when Jey was just challenging Roman for the titles, and we felt he couldn't win. We knew he couldn't win, and Roman Reigns was merciless. Jimmy Uso was there. Even on the ACL, even on the bad will, he came out. You know what I'm saying? Like, if nothing else, his performance during that time is what really sold the emotion for Jimmy. And, you know, Jimmy is also the one that was like, look, I'm standing with my brother no matter what. But you know what? I ain't really fucking with none of this bloodline shit either. Mm-hmm. But now he became fully on board. He started accepting people in. Like, it was so funny and so interesting. And I love the detail in the story of how the segment with Sammy and Jimmy went. It's like, you were my dog. We were dogs. He was like, but then, like, you didn't hesitate to tee off on me. He was like, but yo, you went against the fam. Like, but I think what's most important is that, bro, you causing problems for Jay. The story that has always been for Jimmy is what's up with Jay? Because that's 30-second little bro. Like, that's my twin. We riding together no matter what. The one thing that we haven't really unraveled yet is how Jimmy is not going to turn on Jay. He's not. He's used to being the front man of the Usos, and then that changed, but he's still riding out. Now we're kind of in a position where they're leveling back out. And it's Jimmy and Jay, even though, but Jay still built a very solid solo just identity, I'll say.
Right.
So now what I hope is happening with this story is that once they handle this Sammy problem, it goes back to Jimmy and Jay versus Roman Reigns. And that's where Solo comes in. Mm. Because I'm still going to stand by this. Solo don't fuck with nobody. He's the cousin that don't fuck with nobody. He's the brother that's kind of the black sheep. Whatever story they get with this is what they get with this. But eventually, because the thing is, remember what Bang has always highlighted. They sent Solo. I look at Solo as, well, my older brothers are going to do what they do. But if I have to, I'll even get Roman ass out the way. Because this shit about to be mine. And ain't nobody stopping me. Mm. So you want my personal opinion? The Bloodline storyline ends WrestleMania 2025. Because there's still way more to tell with all these dynamics that still exist. Because look, Cody's giving them a pass. Bloodline story don't end at WrestleMania. Because Cody got to get out the way. And who knows what's happening in 2024. But I'm saying all that to say that 2025, I think, unless they start fast-tracking Solo Sikoa right now, and he's the Royal Rumble winner of 2024, they got to spin the block and keep this thing going, because something between Jimmy, Jay, and Roman still has to happen. We never got that story. That never completed. What happened in the short term, in the interim, was, yo, come on, Jimmy, just be cool. And then all of a sudden, he just kind of just ended up falling in line.
Right.
But we can never dismiss this part about how Jimmy was really never with this shit in the first place. And now they're rehashing that story. And I think that's going to be the even bigger story, Usos versus Roman, like. Because now they still got all the belts. If we really looked at it, especially the way that the Usos get propped up as far as main event, closing and opening SmackDown, showing up on Raw when they want to, beating everybody ass, because now they're doing most of the work. You can make a case optically that the Usos and Roman Reigns are neck and neck as far as the power game goes in the WWE right now.
Right.
So that's even a story that's got to be told. You worried about Sammy wanting to be the head of the table. What about the other two guys that have made sure that you've maintained head of the table while maintaining their own status as the head of the table?
Right. Man, I'm conflicted. Because this is, it's a hell of a conundrum to be in my opinion. Because now you're building people. One of the things that I've said on this show, and I meant it, is that the art of the grudge match is missing. So you got to build up people in certain spots in order for you to get those types of matches. So when I look at Jay, it's, we would think that is inevitable, that Jay is going to support his brother and then he's going to go up against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn for the belts. That seems like what's supposed to be inevitable. But when I see the reaction that Jay Uso gets just in the crowd, I look and I say, damn, he's supposed to end this. Damn, the bloodline's supposed to end with him. And you don't have to do it at WrestleMania. Like, you can have Jay turn on Sami Zayn and then Kevin Owens saying, you know what, fuck it. I'm gonna go ahead and tag up with him. And again, that's my prediction, is night one main event of WrestleMania. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos.
Right.
It's gonna be a hell of a match. Fuck around and be the best match of the weekend.
Facts.
At least the most emotional. But then they lose the belts. And that's when you can really start seeing the cracks for them. Because in Roman's case, if y'all ain't got the belts, what do I need y'all for? And to your point, Solo is somebody who probably just don't care about nobody but himself. But he know that the elders sent him. I wasn't recruited. So I'm doing what they tell me to do. I'm not doing what y'all want me to do. So if the elders say, hey, protect Roman, I'm protecting Roman. If the elders say, you next, then Roman getting his thumb in his neck.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all. But I just think that don't build, because I like what they did by really transitioning Sammy more towards Jimmy and Jay than Roman. It's like, yo, help me take him down.
Right, right.
It's so I need y'all, and then that's where the strife happens with them.
Yeah.
But it's not with Solo. And Solo really, like, again, man, whatever they tell me to do, I'm gonna do it. It's just with Jay, because of where he was during that time when he was going up against his cousin, to now, hey, man, there's almost no need for Jay to be in any tag team. You've built that man up. I know I'm not trying to jump the gun. I know all of this is a slow, slow burn. It's just that you got to do it right so you don't mess up anybody's momentum. And I mean Cody, Jay, Sammy, and Kevin. Because those, and this now, in this right here, the central figure, to the point that you've always made, the central figures is Sammy and Jay. That's why I was thinking that they would have turned Jay against Sammy in Montreal with a super kick to the face for him to side with his cousin. Dragging this on. I do think that creative is dragging the Sammy versus Jay thing on too long. I will say this. even though we're not a month out of WrestleMania,
right,
it still feels like we're dragging this out a bit too long.
Mm-hmm.
So when we officially 30 days out of WrestleMania, that's when I can expect that match to be made.
Mm-hmm.
But you still run the risk of everybody loving this man and still loving him.
Mm-hmm.
And still loving him. It's just that we hate that he going up against his mans. Like, this is like Jimmy and Sammy. I mean, Jay and Sammy is going to be more emotional than I hate you. Mm-hmm. And that's what, like, Ultimate Warrior versus Macho Man.
Mm-hmm.
How we know they hate each other, but these two men are fighting for their careers.
Yeah.
And then they end up tagging with each other and like SummerSlam and all that shit.
Yeah, Ultimate Maniacs, you know.
I don't need Sammy and Jay to be that.
No, and they won't be.
I need Sammy and Jay to hate each other.
So dig it. Because I've been listening to this and I know what's setting up, right? But at the end of the day, the Usos can't be the guys listening to Sami Zayn. The guy that was getting his ass beat,
right,
and got no titles, and his family ain't shit in this wrestling business. Like, I get what they doing with the story, but reality is gonna set in. It's like, bro, first of all, you popping because of us. Like, we not going. You know what I'm saying? So, even if they do have the Jay versus Sammy thing, at the end of the day, Sammy is not going to ever be in the position where he's over the Usos, in my opinion. In my opinion, because again, hey fam, we put you on. We made you hot. You know what I'm saying? Jay put you on. Jim made you hot. Now you walk around, you some big shot. Pussy. You know what I mean? Shout out to 50 Cent. I don't see this help me take the bloodline down. It's like, nah, fam. Like, we got our own personal beef, but we definitely not letting, sorry, y'all. Sorry, our other demographic users and listeners. We not letting the white boy fuck us up, bro. We not doing that.
Yeah.
That won't happen. That doesn't even make for great storyline because like literally what's next? Jimmy and Jay help Sammy Uso take down the bloodline. Now what? Now what? Now what they gonna do? We gonna listen to Sami Zayn? Stop.
Yeah, that's why. for me, y'all,
mm-hmm.
It's time for us to go ahead and kick this shit in the high gear.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and get this out the way, because I don't need them two to be sympathetic in a match with each other.
Yeah,
I don't need them niggas to cry after the match. I don't need these niggas to like hug and all that shit. Because that's what it seemed like it's transitioning to.
Yeah.
You got Jay in the goddamn Raptor. And then you got Jimmy like, yo, I need to have a heart-to-heart with my brother. Because, yeah. See, that's the other part, too.
Mm-mm.
Heels don't have heart-to-hearts with heels, fam.
That's a fact.
And that's what the Usos are as long as they're in the bloodline. Yeah. Everybody, you said it. We need heels and we need faces.
For sure.
And I ain't never seen... The only time I ever seen a heart-to-heart happen, somebody ended up in the window.
Yeah. For sure. For sure.
Somebody ended up in the window.
And it's super slur for Jimmy versus Sammy with Jay in a neutral corner.
Right.
Like, that's slur. That's super slur.
It's hell.
So
what needs to happen... No heart to heart needs to happen.
Yeah.
No, bro, I need to talk to you next week in the ring needs to happen. Mm. No, it don't. Why? Because y'all the heels. I don't need you to beg me to come back to family.
Mm.
And I don't need you to tell me how if we family, then why your cousin muff me in the face, why he treats me like this, only to lead up to Sammy getting super kicked. And then we have the Usos versus, you know, Sammy and Kevin Owens to main event night one of WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Nah, super kick this shit to high gear. Super kick him to hell. Let's get this shit out the way. Mm-hmm. Let's start getting mad at each other and let's go for it. Now, mm-hmm. when y'all lose the belt at WrestleMania, because that's the payoff, mm-hmm. then on SmackDown, when Roman says, hey, man, without the belts, I don't know if I really need y'all. Because low-key, he really didn't give a damn about them until Jimmy had the DUI, and then they hugged the next week, and then they was like, go get the tag team belts. Mm-hmm. And we all got the belts.
Right, yeah. No, that's what happened. That literally happened. That's what played out.
Yeah, so I don't need this so fast story. I need Sammy to get super kicked. I need Kevin to get super kicked. Both of them on the ground, looking like Hulk Hogan and the Macho Man and shit when they got their ass beat by Akeem and Big Boss Man to kick that shit up. Now when y'all lose the belts, then we go from there. But I don't need all this soft shit. I don't need a Rocky montage for all of y'all and shit. Rocky 3 montage. No, I need super kick him to hell and say, yo, we blood, we forever. Blah blah blah. I talked to my daddy Rikishi. And Rikishi said, ain't no white boy gonna come between this family. They've been coming between us for years. We stand together. We stand together, fam. This ain't gonna work. Take your ass back to Canada, get your friend, and you can fight with the titles at WrestleMania. Do some shit like that.
Right.
Because this whole fighting for Jay's love shit. getting a little, yeah, it's getting a little wild out here, fam. I don't see that.
Yeah, and we definitely need to get back to. I mean, it's the bloodline, man. People need to start getting beat up, kicked in the face.
Yeah,
Samoan dropped. I'm sorry. Like all of that needs to happen. Like we've done a little too much talking, and this is why I need to watch the Elimination Chamber, because I'm like, man, how did we get here to where we just got Sami Zayn crying but trying to manipulate at the same time? He like the broke bitch that need to get back with the rich dude so she ain't got to pay rent. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a little more than over it. It's like, ho, get a job. You know what I'm saying? Hey, as Project Pat said, if you quit your damn job, then you better start hoeing. You got to do something out here. And but all this crying and trying to acknowledge Jay and you are my dog. Why you kick me in the face first? Fam. Look, you hit my cousin and the tables turned on you. That's what's supposed to happen. Yeah. If your friend show up to your family reunion and slap your cousin, he get jumped. That's your friend get jumped. That's what happens. So like, you need to be aware of that and tread lightly, apologize and fall back in line.
Yeah. Now, my question to you is, should Jay return to the bloodline, though? Or are we getting to the point where main event Jay should be back in full force?
I honestly think main event Jay should be back, unless they're going to pivot somewhere in this storyline. Because, again, I think, and it's just to Artie's point, we're in a situation now where Roman doesn't have an opponent that we care about. So they need to figure it out. And we're saying that on the way to WrestleMania, and this is the guy with both belts. And even as you look at the hierarchy of who's around right now and who would be next, even though I said it a couple shows ago, I want to say even right now, at this point, even Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns is a bad idea right now. This is a bad idea. It's not that the match won't be fire. It's not that Seth won't turn up and make it a moment and we would get a great moment out of it. It's just a bad time for it. You know what I'm saying? We over. The Sami Zayn's thing is over. Don't need to be no Sami Roman 2 or 3. We over the Kevin Owens. It's got to be the best of seven series. He had to lose 4-1, right? Or 4-0, whatever it is. Cody is Cody. Cody won the Royal Rumble, but that's the only reason why we're talking about him. Really, the next viable opponents for Roman are Jimmy or Jay. Is one of those two. And they've still building up the aesthetic of, if you fighting one of us, you fighting both of us, so how you want to do this? And I'm honestly more here for that than I am anything else right now. If we have to give something, if we have to give Roman something else to do, because look, you can't muff me too many times, push me, talk down on me, and think I'm not slapping the shit out you.
So here's my thing with the Cody Rhodes shit. I think there's two things that can be right here. Because I see a lot of people when Cody Rhodes goes on TV and they hear the crowd and like, yeah, people care about Cody. Y'all tripping. I do think people care about Cody.
Yes.
I'm not sure if they care about Cody versus Roman Reigns.
There you go.
Two things can be right here.
Yes.
We care about Cody. I don't think we care about this match.
Yeah.
But we love Cody.
Yeah.
And that will never change. Mm-hmm. I think that's where the WWE is at here.
Yeah.
They care about Cody. They don't care about Cody versus Roman.
Yeah.
And they'd rather have Roman versus Sammy again with Jay being involved in some type of way. Mm-hmm. I think that's just how fans are. That's how finicky they can be. Yeah. But it doesn't help when this is how you build. You're building it too good. You're doing too good of a damn job.
Mm-hmm.
This is no knock on the WWE. I think that they're doing a great job at building all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I just personally think that people care about Cody. They don't care about Cody versus Roman.
Yeah.
And case in point for me is when I see Cody and Paul Heyman going back and forth.
Yeah.
And then when I see Paul Heyman say, basically, I'm going to take your bitch. And that's when Cody starts going, when did Brandy get involved in this?
Right. See? And that's that AEW shit.
Right.
But, you know, and to answer your point, I want to throw out something else happening right now in wrestling. And I want to say that we would still care about Cody the exact same amount, even if this was his match. Because I think the ultimate white boy wet dream right now is Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar. And our care for Cody would not drop at all as a community, as a wrestling community, even if he was facing Brock Lesnar night one to open up WrestleMania or night two.
No, the Cody wet dream is Cody versus Brock or Cody versus John Cena. Because to the point, exactly. if they're about to build John Cena versus Austin Theory,
mm-hmm.
you might give a fuck about that shit.
Yeah, not really.
Because they don't really give a fuck about Austin Theory the way that y'all want them to, even though he's doing a great job. I say care about. When it comes to WrestleMania, this shit's different.
Mm-hmm.
You put on that motherfucking Bill Cody versus John Cena, it goes up.
Yeah, for sure. That damn there has to be the night one main event just because it's them.
Right. So that's my whole issue,
mm-hmm.
is that people care about Cody. They do. Cody gonna come up on that screen. You know, the music is gonna come up. They're gonna go, oh, all that shit. He gonna say, what do you want to talk about? And then he gonna start talking and give a nice ass promo.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't care about Cody versus Roman.
Yeah.
And as long as y'all keep doing a hell of a job with all of this other storylines with the bloodline,
mm-hmm.
and simply just get away from the shit, we ain't gonna care.
Right.
Because it's gonna get to a point where we're just gonna be like, Cody's not gonna win.
Yeah.
Because Roman got to get over 1,000. Yeah. So he's gonna have to win at WrestleMania. And since he has to get over 1,000, we're not gonna really give a shit until May.
Right.
Late May, right. When it's like, okay, he's beat Pedro Morales.
Pedro.
So mm-hmm. he can lose this bitch now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's yeah. it. That's all.
Like when we say nobody's caring about Cody Rhodes, yes, it's only the match. Like, y'all got it confused with nobody cares about Madcap Moss.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because he's out there with Ricochet and Braun Strowman trying to get over. And look how crazy that sounds with how his last year went.
Yeah, we could give you wrestlers that
People really ain't checking.
They really don't give a fuck about.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes is not one of them. Yeah, they just don't care for this match.
Right.
And honestly, if you wait so long to put Cody and Roman Reigns in the same ring, we really not going to give a damn. Yeah. Because the people who you putting in the same ring is killing it.
Yeah.
But you got Cody and Paul Heyman going back and forth.
Yeah, on Raw at that. Yeah. Like, Cody, to me, and even though, I mean, I get how it's supposed to go, right? But I don't understand why Cody Rhodes hasn't kicked off every single SmackDown since he's won the Royal Rumble. Just because, like, this whole gap that we have here is because Cody Rhodes has not shown up to every single SmackDown since he's won the Royal Rumble. And I think that's what should be happening. He can still show up on Raw. It's 3 hours. He can show up in the second hour, have a 10-minute match or no. But he needs to also be on SmackDown because that's where the titles is. That's where the main event is. That's where your WrestleMania fever pitch is. And he's not there. And I personally don't understand that. And I've missed a week. But yeah, I watched SmackDown and I see it was like, yo, hey, like, yeah, why is Cody Rhodes not here?
Yeah, like Cody Rhodes is having promos and then wrestling Baron Corbin.
See? Nah. Nah. At least, but, if you're going to have him do matches, have him wrestle the last four guys at that were in the Royal Rumble.
Right, yeah. Like, see, let me revert back to what I just said. And the reason why I say we care about Cody, we just don't care about this match. Mm-hmm. And they're not doing a good job at making me care about this match. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. Because Cody does a snappy promo. Then he goes to the back. Baron Corbin is shitting on him. So now it's let me jump on him while I'm wearing my suit. And then you beat Baron Corbin. Where's the Roman Reigns shit at?
Right.
If we gonna do that match, then Jimmy Uso should have not cost you the match, but should have popped up or watched or something.
Yeah, for sure.
He's had no interaction with the Bloodline since he won the Royal Rumble. That needs to stop.
For sure.
But on the same show, you have Sammy doing impassionate promos about the Bloodline and appearing with the Bloodline, a member of the Bloodline, in some sort of way. We're more vested in that than the Cody shit.
Right.
But we fuck with Cody.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at with it.
Mm-hmm.
We got to start seeing interaction with the Bloodline and Cody Rhodes in order for us to care about this shit at this point.
Yeah.
Because it's not, from a match perspective, it's not working for me. But I also am the same person that said that the WWE don't really fuck with the Rose family like that. It is what it is. I mean, it's really it. But before, a couple of quick hits and stuff. I mean, I know we've been notoriously shitting on the Mysterio family. But, you know, Friday shit picked up a little bit.
Yeah.
So I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to watch Rey versus Dom, what does that match look like to get you invested in father versus son?
Man, I'm so glad you asked this because after that segment went off, I was literally thinking like, so what needs to happen here? Because you have You have a very interesting case, right? Because on the one hand, Dominic obviously needs to win at a WrestleMania to increase the hate that exists for him, right?
Right.
However, Rey Mysterio beating his son's ass is just what people really want to see. So, even whether we love the story or not, whether we love Dom and Bray and all of this or not, the question that has to be answered is, do you give the people what they want, or do you give them what the future superstar needs? And that's where I'm conflicted. Because shit, if Ray wins at WrestleMania, this shit is over. It's like, yo, I don't need to. I got nothing to prove. However, if Dominic wins, but Ray wins and or if Ray just beats him up on Raw and SmackDown, then we kind of, you know, it's kind of like a wash. It's like, okay, bet, you know what? You won the match. You know, you got your moment, but yo, daddy still your daddy. Yo, daddy beat your ass, and that's what it is. Literally, what has to happen in this now, I feel, there has to be another party involved. And I guess this is where my man, Rich Sabu comes in. You know what I'm saying? Rich Sabu's son comes in. But I'm not even sure that's the fix at the moment. You know what I'm saying? Because Rich Sabu's son, obviously, is leaps and bounds over Dominic. And I'm not sure who would be the guy to get the other guy over in that situation, you know? So,
yeah.
So I don't know. I'm kind of at a stalemate here, man. It's like, do you give the people what they want, which is Ray beating Dom ass, but do you give them what the future superstar needs, which is Dom going over on his pops at WrestleMania?
Yeah, I think the only way you're going to get this match to me to be that is that it has to be a mask versus hair match.
Mm.
A mask and career versus hair match.
Mm.
Like, I think, and this is me watching a whole bunch of Lucha Libre in my life.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to a mask versus hair match, That's when shit is lit.
Yeah, for sure.
That's when this is serious right here, fam. Because either I gotta shave my head off or you gotta lose your mask. And we know how important the mask is to Lucha Libre culture.
For sure.
And it's not like Rey Mysterio has lost his mask before. Yeah.
Right. Right.
But I think in this case, where this is father and son and it is emotional as it has become,
mm-hmm.
you have to put Ray's mask and career on the line versus his son. Mm. And his son's got to put up his hair in order for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
At WrestleMania 39, it needs to be Rey Mysterio putting up his mask and his career against Dom and Dom's hair.
Mm.
And when you do that, that's when you bring out every emotion that you need to when this father and son fight against each other. For his son fighting for his own legacy, the father is fighting to keep his alive and not lose it to his son. And not only not lose his legacy, but his career and his livelihood, which revolves around the mask.
Mm.
That's just me, though.
No, it makes sense.
When you look at the landscape of matches possible for WrestleMania, what is a match you hope is made based off of what you've seen? And what's a match that you hope it is not made based off what you've seen?
Man, even though I can get to the not made very quickly. Anything Gunther versus Braun or Ricochet or Madcap Moss. Like, I'm out the loop on that. I'm out the game on that. I think we need something better for Gunther. And I just don't think that's it. Like, so if they can just write somebody in, even though it looks like we're getting some version of that, or it's a fatal four-way, it's going to be something. You know what I'm saying? Because technically it would be three people against Gunther at WrestleMania. So if for him to still win, that would be pretty ill. But I don't really want to see it. As far as a match that I would want to see, man, unfortunately, I haven't seen enough recently to say I want to see anything. But I guess what I would want more than anything is to be excited about some of the people that we know are going to be there. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be excited about anything involving Austin Theory, win or lose. I want to be excited about something. You know what? Some other shit I don't want to see anything. Viking Raiders versus Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. I'm off that too. Like, I'm off that. I don't want to see none of that. Ronda Rousey needs a Raw opponent, in my opinion. You know, I really, all things considered, I ain't even gonna front, especially looking at what I've seen just from the women's division. I see everything that's happening, but man, they should have found out a way to finagle Ronda Rousey versus Bianca Belair. And I'm not even saying that. I mean, because look, again, you baddest woman on the planet versus the girl that wins at every WrestleMania, and neither one of them has put anybody else over. So boom, we got action. Like, one of you chicks need to do something to get the other one over so we can stop what we're doing right now. So, yeah, if I had to pick one, I wish we would have seen Bianca Belair versus Ronda Rousey, Raw Women's Championship, because I think they kind of need that, especially right now with what's going on.
I don't want to see Bobby Lashley versus Bray Wyatt.
Same.
If I was Bobby Lashley, I would try to finesse my way away from all of this. Oh, wow. Burial Bray. Yeah, I don't want to see Bray Wyatt versus Bobby Lashley. Black people don't do well with supernatural shit.
Yeah, no, not at all.
We don't do well with that. So if they try to force that down my throat, I'm going to the bathroom during that match.
I understand it.
Sorry, Bobby. I love you to death, man. Support all black wrestlers.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
But this whole Bray Wyatt that we talked about it last week, fam. I don't want to see Bray Wyatt invite Bobby Lashley to the Fight Five Funhouse.
Nah.
Because then they'll fuck around and have a little black doll there that represents Bobby Lashley.
So it looks like on Tales from the Hood.
Yeah, it mess around to be some. Yeah, it mess around. Yeah, this has the potential to be two Tales from the Hoodish. No, I don't want that. I don't want that at all. And low key, I'm scared of a Wyndham family member going up against a black man anyway. I'm not saying that they racist because he's with JoJo.
Yeah, for sure.
But at this point, I don't want Bray to go up against Barry, Mike Rotunda, Bray, IRS,
the Widowmaker.
Bo Dallas, the Widowmaker. I don't want him to go up against none of them. No member of the Windows. Because I'm already seeing it. Oh, Bobby Lashley could bring back the Hurt Business to go up against the Bray Wyatt family, and then, you know, then the Wyatt Six may pop up and all of that. Nah, I'm taking the shit. If Bray Wyatt and Bobby Lashley wrestle, I am taking the shit, and I'm fat, so that might be a nice shit.
Yo,
I'm just saying.
Oh, shoot.
It is what it is, Camp. I don't want to see that match at all. I don't even want it insinuated. Stop it. Like, go find Giant Gonzalez Jr. and have him go up against Bray Wyatt. Go find Nathan Jones.
Hey.
Like, y'all, no, nah, I'm straight. I'm doing something. I might have sex. I might do a quick. Hey, let's see if we could beat this match.
Because why not? You know what I mean?
I'm sorry. Look, Triple H, Paul, we don't want to see it. We do not want to see Bray Wyatt versus Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
Don't do it, Paul.
Yeah, man.
No.
Super off that, man.
No. It ain't no. It's not what's up. I don't know who you get with Bray Wyatt at this point, but it ain't Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
Have Bobby go up against Gunther, fam.
Hey, if we're looking for people with something to do, let's clash the crews. You know what I'm saying? We're at the Beanie Siegel, like Ronda Rousey versus Bianca Belair, Bobby Lashley versus Gunther. Hey, throw it all on night one if you want.
Right, give us
or night two.
Give us Bobby Lashley versus Gunther. Yeah, give us Bobby Lashley versus Bray Wyatt. Because we're not going to watch that match.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to go take a shit. Somebody's going to go get the pizza. Somebody's going to go get the beer. This is not going to be the let me rewind this match.
Yeah.
It's not.
Nah.
We don't do well with supernatural shit.
Yeah.
Let's leave that alone. So I'm mixing my match I don't want to see with match that I would see, like to see. Bobby versus Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. Mm-hmm. We don't want to see Bray versus Bobby.
No. I'm good.
Straight.
Super good.
Like, imagine Bobby Lashley coming in suited and booted to the Firefly Funhouse. I've asked for my friend Bobby to come. Mm-hmm. Bobby! And then Bobby come up there with his shades and shit. And you hear the, yay! And he take it off like, man, what the fuck? Nah, bro. We don't want to see that.
What are these damn dolls doing around here?
Get them out of here. See, like, Bobby do be doing the Jay Prince point, and that should be funny. I'm not saying that Jay Prince is funny. I want to make sure y'all understand.
Yeah.
Said Bobby doing the point.
Right.
When he's talking. Just watch it. Before we get out of here, there's one of the things that I'm gonna start to do. I've already started to do. I just finished WrestleMania 1.
So as recap, you're doing the real joints.
Yeah, I just finished WrestleMania 1. And I'm gonna run the younger members of the internet wrestling community some bail.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to challenge y'all. I want y'all, whoever listens to this show, want y'all to watch WrestleMania. All right. Every week, start from WrestleMania 1, go to WrestleMania 38. Watch a WrestleMania. So your first challenge is to watch WrestleMania 1. And tell me what you like and don't like about it.
Okay. That's fair.
Because and I was thinking about this because knowing what we know with this young demographic of the internet wrestling community, y'all niggas don't be watching this old shit, but y'all be shitting on it. So I really want Marks to watch and give their thoughts on this. That's my challenge to you all. And I see Keith. I know y'all don't talk much AEW, but any opinions on the Iron Man match at Revolution? No. I'm going to tell you why. I think AEW is doing now what they should have done a while ago, and it's just not resonating.
Mm.
It's trying to tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am disinterested in a match that I was waiting on. And that's Bryan Danielson versus MJF. Because now that MJF is champion, People shitting on my man.
Okay.
But I think they shitting on my man because of the transition they've made. AEW starting to look a little bit like WWE in some parts. And I think in this championship match, that's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm like, nah, because they're trying to tell a story and they're not telling the story in the right way. You got Bryan Danielson having to fight all of these people just to get a match with MJF. Y'all have done that before. Y'all just trying to tell the story in a whole different way.
Mm-hmm.
You have MJF basically telling y'all, I ain't wrestling doing no shit like that until a pay-per-view because that's what we do around here. Now. Mm-hmm. Like, you got, like, it's just a lot of weirdness that's going on. Mm-hmm. And the product from AEW ain't been looking good, fam. Mm-hmm. So that's why I ain't got much to say, because I watch AEW now and I get disinterested after 30 minutes.
Oh, shit.
That's terrible. At that point now.
I'm out the loop.
Like, I get, it's no reason, they don't worry about it.
Okay.
Like, Impact Wrestling clips have become more interesting than AEW whole shows. And like Artie just said, he became champ and completely flipped his character, and it does not make sense.
Oh, damn.
It does not make sense, fam. Like, Cesaro or Claudio Castagnoli slapped Wheeler Yuta in Wheeler Yuta's match the other day. I forgot who he was wrestling. No, he was wrestling Orange Cassidy. And he basically sapped him and was like, yo, we don't do that here, and blah, 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 blah. So he all of a sudden, like, and still lost the match. Like, get the fuck up out of here. Like, MJF apparently is not with his fiance no more.
Oh, damn.
So it's like niggas want to feel sorry for that shit. Like, this shit is, you know, it's bad. Let me just say this, and then we can move on to close out the show. You know it's bad when people are openly saying that Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks should join WWE.
Oh, wow. Dang, I didn't realize all that was happening the last few weeks over there. I know, AEW.
Yes.
Wow.
Let's get enough out there in these streets.
So damn. Get
enough out there in these streets, fam.
That's not good at all.
Yeah, but, jeez, man, that's it for the show, man. We look forward to next week camp watching Elimination Chamber.
Yes.
And giving his thoughts on it. A lot of things is going to start to make sense. Yeah. But, you know, my final thought and my guarantee is not really a guarantee. For me, it's mostly just hopes. And the hope, one hope is Bray Wyatt does not wrestle Bobby Lashley. But the other hope is that Rey Mysterio put his mask in his career on the line against his son Dom and Dom's hair. Let's make this a good ass Lucha Libre emotional novella type situation, fam.
There we go. All right.
Oh, and he needs to stay out of the Charlotte Flair Rhea Ripley shit too. Just
that. Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah, that was so. Again, man, a lot of super slur things happen when Dom is on the television screen. That's what I'll leave with that. My guarantee is that I am going to watch Elimination Chamber as soon as I get off this stream, because I need to catch up. We need to have real conversations. And I need to watch the AEW YouTube channel and catch up, because I haven't been doing that lately. I've been watching a little bit of anything the last few weeks. But we're going to change that so I can get here and help keep giving y'all the content that y'all been supporting and appreciating, because we do appreciate y'all. For everything that you do for the show, as far as your likes, your comments, your shares, your questions, your feedback, your participation in watching the shows and throwing out your different anecdotes and all of that, you know what I'm saying? It's greatly appreciated. Obviously, Bang and I could do the show by ourselves, but we don't want to, because it's much more fun when you are all a part of it. So, hey, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, You do so by checking out the First Black Champ Podcast. Pick VPB. We are out. Fuck Johnny Wrestling.
And fuck the dude who created Dilbert. Dude ass racist as shit.
Oh, damn. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, he racist as shit. I'll send you the video. That motherfucker racist as shit. Fuck the dude who created Dilbert, too. Word, if you still got Dilbert in your newspapers, fuck you, too.
Damn Anglo-Saxons, man.